Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Well, what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening to Missing on the Crawl Space Media Network.
If you like this show, you will love Crawl Space, which is also hosted by us.
We launched Crawlspace in 2017, and we have a huge catalog of incredible and thought-provoking interviews.
Check out our entire network of shows at crawlspace-media.com. On February 9th of 2004, 21-year-old UMass Amherst student Maura Murray disappeared in the White Mountains of New Hampshire in one of the most perplexing mysteries of our time.
For years, we have covered Maura's case and the tireless online community that surrounds it in great detail. We have since expanded our mission with this series, raising awareness and shining a light on the stories of other missing persons.
We now sit on the board of directors of the nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing, which was founded by Bruce Maitland. Bruce's daughter, Brianna Maitland, went missing from Montgomery, Vermont on March 19th of 2004, just 6 weeks after and about 80 miles away from where Maura Murray vanished.
Private Investigations for the Missing aims to assist with investigations for underserved families whose missing loved ones have been forgotten by the media or by law enforcement. Through our growing community, we hope to shed a light on these cold cases.
Families and loved ones can reach out to us at investigationsforthemissing.org. This is Missing. Welcome back to Missing. I am Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
Doing so well. How are you today?
I am doing excellent, Lance. And this episode, Lance, is part two of our conversation with the Wylands, the private investigating duo who are working for Private Investigations for the Missing on the disappearance of Phoenix Colden.
That's correct. They're doing this work pro bono through their organization, Lakefront Investigations, and they are two really professional, really wonderful people, just genuine human beings. And what we're doing with this conversation is introducing our listeners to the investigators behind the missing person stories that we present as well. So it's very important for us to let people know that if they're contributing, whether it's through their own investigating work or financially contributing to PIs for the Missing, we want to let you know that we have individuals like Ness and Andy and Lou and Greg. We want you to meet them and get to know them and get to know their personalities and get to know how dedicated they are and how much they care about these families.
That is exactly right, Lance. And I do want to remind people that they can donate on the site, investigationsforthemissing.org. And this nonprofit is really chugging along now, Lance. And very soon, we're going to bring you an interview on a new case that is being covered by Private Investigations for the Missing.
And if you haven't done it already, be sure to follow Private Investigations for the Missing on Twitter at PI for the Missing. Also, check out their website and the blog at investigationsforthemissing.org.
Okay, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. We will be back with more on the disappearance of Phoenix Colden. Our coverage on her case is not done by a long shot. Follow us on social media at MissingCSM.
Just the peace of mind, that's another element that I know Bruce is very heavily focused on, is providing peace of mind to families and providing a relationship to families. And that is really goes much further than I think people think, that someone knows, hey, someone's looking into this. You might not have you might not solve it, you know, a particular one. You might not. You may, but just having that person to go to, those people to go to and check in, and vice versa. I think that's a often underrated or underscored element to the whole thing.
And Vanessa, I think that that's a lot of what you did, what the service that you provided back in sunny San Angelo, Texas, with the Sheriff's Department. And was that not the Sheriff's Department where you were you were working with victims of kind of violent situations?
So yes, I worked with both the Sheriff's Department and a volunteer organization. And the organizations themselves did a lot of the heavy lifting to kind of bridge those gaps. I shouldn't say it that way, but a lot of what the leadership of those organizations did was talk to various members of the law enforcement community to kind of get their names out there, you know, show their creds, you know, and that's really, honestly, I feel that is my job and Andy's job when we're dealing with anyone, you know, Maryland or Missouri or Arizona. We have to really present ourselves as, we're not part of this particular community, we're part of this other community, but this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And is there anything that you can do to help us, or is there anything we can do to help you? And I think as long as we're approaching it as relationship building and we show that we have skin in the game, I think that's really what will help, you know, those situations. And I don't see any, I haven't had any issues with law enforcement, even though that first case that we had, there was a general, it felt like lack of engagement in some ways. But when I look at the fact that there are people calling in all the time, you know, with this kind of these tips, and I can understand. And so it really just takes us going a little bit face to face sometimes and you know, showing rather than just, man, I don't know how to phrase it, but.
That it is another plug. It is shows and opportunities like Crawl Space, what you guys are doing with your resources, with your network, with your talent, what you guys are doing is absolutely a part of building, and it is bridge building, Vanessa, because a lot of bridges have been broken by crappy private investigators. Phoenix's parents, Goldia and Lawrence, are experienced in that area, crappy investigators. I also wanted to say real quickly before I will turn it back to you guys, but I want to say real quickly in line of you know, the skills, the experience, the knowledge that we are bringing, the subject matter expertise that Vanessa and I are bringing to these investigations. There's not a lot of use for me outside of the military. It really isn't for people like me. I mean, I can outside of the Department of Defense, right? So if I can bring all of what I understand and maybe even some of my friends with me on this journey, with Vanessa on this journey that we are going on, that we can leverage some of the tools and different perspectives that maybe traditional law enforcement, they, because of different tactics, techniques, and procedures, they look a different direction. They do things a little bit differently. That's okay. They've proven that they can do their jobs. Nobody's saying that a cop can't do his or her job. If they want to do their job, they can absolutely do it, and they can do it well. So no discredit to them, but just a different perspective. And that's what I feel most strongly about here. And I think I've talked maybe to Lou about this, that I, when you guys had asked us earlier how we got into this, and Vanessa, you did share exactly, you detailed exactly how we got involved, how you pulled me in to private investigations. But it was that moment where I realized, holy mackerel, I have an opportunity to, the taxpayers paid a lot of money to get me where I am, you know, skill-wise, knowledge-wise, all that stuff, not bragging, just saying that a lot of money has been put into this tool right here. And so why shouldn't I then put this tool into use domestically to do something important, like maybe reuniting families with their loved ones. And so that's where I'm sorry. I know I'm going way back in time to the beginning of this conversation, but that's where my heart is on that.
Yeah. It's really interesting and really cool that you say that, because honestly, we hear so many stories where people have those tools and they just don't use them for whatever reason, or they use them for the wrong purposes. And it's so cool that you have recognized that. And very interesting that you said that a lot of money has been put into that, because it's true. You know, there's a whole community of people like yourselves that have that funding that has been put into them for this purpose, for doing something like this.
I got a buddy down in North Carolina who I connected with Lou. I put him and Lou in touch, and this buddy of mine, you know, he's retired military, retired Army, also a prior cop. And so the discussion between him and Lou, I'm sure, was, you know, really eye to eye, really productive. And that's the feedback I got from my buddy when I talked to him afterward. Well, Lou's son is an attorney, and I'll brag on Lou's son for him. Lou's son is doing amazing work down in North Carolina, doing a military law, primarily focusing on military law. So it seemed like a natural fit to put my buddy and Lou's son together. I think that's a dream team. And if you can get Lou's son involved in private investigations for the missing Mr. Maitland, I think you'd be well served. I think this organization would be well served by relationships like that. I think we need lawyers in here, because I would like to, I asked Lou at one point, can we subpoena somebody? Can we ask, can we demand information? Can we subpoena a police department? Can we subpoena an individual? And of course, you can't do that without court action. And I know that. I know that.
That's a really great point you make there. It'd be amazing to subpoena people. I actually want to see Vanessa subpoena somebody, because I feel like that'd be badass. I feel like she'd march up to the door, probably would, you know, obviously with a face mask. And I feel like she would just rip their face mask off and say, "Get in the car."
Absolutely not. First of all, if there are steps involved, I have to take a couple seconds, catch my breath after the stairs, and then maybe I'll knock on the door.
You mean kick the door down? knock with your foot.
No.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. So a little while ago, you mentioned that there was an unusual pattern of calls before Phoenix went missing. Can you get into that a little bit more and what you meant by that?
I don't think I'd be speaking out of turn by saying this, because it's been in several public forums, but one of the gentlemen that was romantically tied to Phoenix, his calls ceased immediately after she disappeared. There shouldn't have been any reason, especially because they were talking multiple times a day throughout the entire day. And then the night before, they had a very long call. Now, this person was cleared of any suspicion, so we can't, you know, we obviously can't say that he's involved for any malicious reasons. But I would say that if there was some knowledge that led him to stop calling that phone and maybe calling another, or just stop calling altogether, I'd want to know. I'd want to look people in the eye and know why. That's
Oxygen Network referred to him as Michael B. And that's as far as I think we'll go.
Okay.
And I was wondering, do you think there is evidence, or have you found evidence to suggest that Phoenix wasn't planning on coming back? I mean, other than the obvious that she didn't come back, or she is still missing?
No, there were one of the things that Goldia brings up often are some glasses, some reading glasses that she had in her car that she really loved. So she wouldn't, but she also left a laptop, a tablet. She left several items of clothing. So in a bag, and the way that I would look at that bag is, oh, that's an overnight bag. As soon as they told us what was in it, I was like, oh, that's, you know, an overnight bag. So I don't understand why someone would pack that way. And then
we also don't know that everything, Vanessa, I'm so sorry. We also don't know that everything that was in, that's in that bag today, as Goldia presents it, when she pulls the bag out and she takes things out and she says this. I'll have to clarify with her. I feel like those items were scattered in the car. That bag was there, but I don't believe that bag was filled with things that you might expect for an overnight type trip. But that's something that we'll have to explore a little bit more, Vanessa.
Yeah, I am under the impression that they were in the bag. And there may have been other things. Like, I mean, I used to work in DC, so I had several pairs of shoes in my car because I had walk to the car shoes, you know, walk to the parking lot shoes, and then I had office shoes, you know, so a lot of those things can be explained away that way. But many of the things that were found in the bag, I believe those were, it just sounded like an overnight kit.
And I want to go back real quick to the phone calls that you said happened. Were they all, you said that there was a number of phone calls that occurred leading up to the disappearance, and then that stopped. Were all of these calls from the same number, or was it a flurry of phone calls from different numbers?
Oh, no. I was just talking about that one number, that one in particular. Now, there are there were other phone calls. Most of the calls were between Goldia and either Lawrence or Phoenix and either Goldia or Lawrence. And then we had a few kind of, you know, random family friends, many of them that we can explain away. But when, you know, Andy and I, we call all the time. If I disappear over a weekend and he doesn't call my phone often, even if we're having an argument, that doesn't look great. And it just opens up a line of questions, I believe.
That is interesting. And that one particular phone number has been traced to a particular person or not yet? Yes, it has.
Yes, it has.
Okay.
So when we say the call with Michael B., the calls with Michael B. stopped abruptly that day. Well, I think we don't see anything after that day. Is that correct, Vanessa? I think that day is the last on the record that we've seen.
Yes, that is the last day. So absolutely, if we are able to get the 19th through, you know, the beginning of the year or something like that, the rest of the 19th through the beginning of the year, we may be able to see different patterns. Absolutely. But we are also going off of, again, a little bit of memory from various people that were involved. But it is one of the things that I feel is always a good line of, you know, investigation is just kind of looking at communication patterns, because that'll tell you more about a person, just who they talk to regularly, when they talk to them, you know. I think that shows more about a person than anything. And even at that time, a lot of people weren't talking on the phone. It was transitioning to, you know, texting mostly and things like that. So those long conversations, that those are important to us to see and to know.
Have you had an opportunity to look at Goldia or Lawrence's phone records as well? And were they all on the same plan?
They are all on the same plan, but I believe that the view, for lack of a better word, we only had Phoenix's calls. Those particular logs were just Phoenix's calls. I think I would hate to... That's one of those kind of shaky areas, you know, we're so new in our relationship. I think it would take a little bit for us to ask them. It would take a little bit more trust.
Lawrence has successfully passed what often people call lie detector test, you know, a polygraph examination with law enforcement, with a contracted law enforcement professional. Goldia has not yet, for reasons that she's, you know, explained to them, and not that she's been avoiding it, but they've got reasons why she's not a candidate for a successful polygraph. And I will point out too that Vanessa and I have been through several polygraphs throughout our career. It's a strange experience the first time, and it's a strange experience the 12th time. So, and they're not entirely accurate. It's not proven science. It's theorized science, and it's to give indications for further questioning. Nobody has ever been, you cannot, I don't believe anyway, you cannot, find somebody guilty for a failed, polygraph examination.
And you meant you were, taking those tests, you were, on the receiving end, or you were, giving them?
Receiving.
Yeah. And that's typical for your job after things happen, arrests are made or whatever.
No, it's standard to it's a indicator of trust, reliability, and just the same with the background investigations that they do on us ongoing. We open our lives to the government. We've opened our lives for 24 years now to the United States government, fully exposed.
Jeez, that's really cool. I didn't know that you take lie detector tests like that. That's cool.
Oh, I love it. Lie detector tests.
More so a sweat detector test.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it is. Oh my goodness.
So you get like nervous when it.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like I could pass a lie detector.
Can you?
Yeah, I get nervous.
Let's do it. We can do it right now.
Quiz to figure out which Harry Potter house I belong to. So it doesn't. Those are absolutely. But I mean, I understand why it's done, and it does. It really is to open up another line of questioning. But yes, and I think where Andy was going was there's no suspicion whatsoever with the Coldens, and we do not suspect, but we want to make sure that they understand the reasons why we would ask for their phone records were to look at other people that might be around that time that might be interested in the case.
Oh, for sure. And to create a sort of basis for a timeline. Like, phone records are really good to create a, you can point out where someone was within a certain range, when they spoke to someone, who they spoke to. So it's really important for a timeline. I certainly would never suspect the Coldens for anything nefarious either. Yeah, interesting. Lie detectors. I feel like I could pass it. I feel like I could convince myself of anything and I could successfully pass it unless Vanessa was giving it to me.
If she walked in the room.
That's what I was going to say. Do you want to test it? I really want to. I think we can do it without the equipment. I think we could do it right here.
Oh, hit me. A couple of yes or no questions.
See, I could get you. I could find out if you're lying or not, but unfortunately, due to COVID restrictions and social distancing, that's not appropriate.
Oh my God, they switched the good cop, bad cop role. Didn't see that coming.
When a person goes missing, their loved ones often find themselves overcome with worry and grief. Bruce Maitland started the 501c3 nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing because he knows this feeling all too well.
When Bruce's daughter Brianna disappeared in March 2004, he was surrounded by licensed private investigators dedicated to finding her. Now his mission is to provide dedicated private investigators at no cost to other families of the missing, desperate for answers but without the financial means.
Private Investigations for the Missing needs your help. To read the mission statement, make a donation, and keep up with our blog, visit us at investigationsforthemissing.org and follow us at PI for the Missing on Twitter and Facebook and Investigations for the Missing on Instagram.
Because forever is too long to wait.